Hello, everyone. My name is Pamela Pitcher, and welcome to my podcast, Awaken to the Best You. This podcast is designed to inspire and propel you to a newfound level of empowerment and clarity. Through cultivating the art of thinking, you'll learn how to detangle your thought knots and train your brain to break through obstacles. You'll learn to focus on what matters most and make effective choices to become a remarkable you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to my first pop-up podcast. Until I start season two, I've decided to record a pop-up from time to time when there's something important or inspirational to share with you. It's mid-December 2020, and this holiday season is like no other I have known. This month, the world is trying to gain control over the virus that has turned our lives upside down. Next month, it'll be 2 years since I've been back to my hometown of Vancouver. And that is the longest I've been away from Canada since I left some 18 years ago. My yearly visits to spend time with friends and family and ski, golf, and hike at my beloved resort of Whistler Blackcomb are suspended. And for many of us, that is how life feels right now. Suspended. Life postponed. Having said that, our lives will resume because with the vaccines that have been created in record time, amazingly, thanks to technology, we now have an endgame in sight. Personally, I think 2021 is going to be a tumultuous year for not only healthcare, politically, economically, and environmentally, as mankind evolves from what no longer works. As ever, when confronted by a challenging situation, I turn to the practice of gratitude, which may seem slight amongst our global issues, but you know what? Taking care of your mental health and well-being is of premier importance. Everyone in your world will benefit, not just you. With repetition, practicing gratitude has become a habit, a good habit because we train our brain to look at our world as one of possibilities instead of problems. It doesn't mean that everything is sugar and spice, and I don't wear rose-tinted glasses. I'm a realist that appreciates this world. We have so much beauty and good in the world, we only need to be open-minded for it to register. Perspective is a learned behavior, and we each have our own unique take on the world. I choose to be thankful. Often, we forget the many wonderful things in life and concentrate our thoughts on what we don't have or what's going wrong. And this is the theme of one of my favorite Christmas movies starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy's character realizes after he hits rock bottom to count his blessings with the help of Clarence. If you haven't watched this movie, it's definitely worth a watch. According to Psychology Today, there are 7 scientifically proven reasons to practice gratitude instead of self-pity. Gratitude opens the doors to more relationships. Saying thank you helps you win friends. It improves our physical health because grateful people are more likely to care for their health. It improves our psychological health by reducing toxic emotions. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression, and couldn't we use more of that these days? Grateful people sleep better. It improves self-esteem. It increases mental strength. A 2006 study found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower levels of post-traumatic stress disorder. For me, gratitude has helped lift me out of depression in the worst times. And every day, it's a way that I connect with all that is. When I consider the intricacies of this world, indeed our universe, I can't help but be amazed. From my point of view, our world is awesome, and I am so grateful to be part of it. If you're anything like me, this year you have spent time in contemplation. 2020 has been a year of questions and remembering times gone by. As I wrote my Christmas cards this year, I remembered 2 poignant moments from my past, which I'll share with you in a moment. Even though I have experienced an inordinate amount of pain and suffering during my life, I have also been blessed by the generosity of others' compassion and care. Many of you know through listening to my podcast or reading my blog that I was raised in a dysfunctional family. I have been physically, emotionally, and sexually abused by the cast of characters in my life. As I look back, I wish to thank the families who took me in when things got bad at home. Whether it be to let me hang out after school, stay an evening or a weekend, or move in for a spell, without their generosity of time, food, and examples of what a compassionate, supportive family looked like, I don't know what would have happened to me. Our neighbors, the Browns, who lived on the other side of the creek that ran through our backyard, at their house I learned to make chocolate cake and was encouraged to sing and perform. The Laidlers, the neighbors across the street, is where I spent many a Friday watching Nightmare Theater, sipping on cream soda, eating salt and vinegar potato chips. The Laidler house was where I could run to at a moment's notice. I needed that more than anyone should have. The Rempels, with whom I discovered the Gulf Islands and the beautiful coast of British Columbia, we'd explore them by hiking along deer trails. Such wonderful times. Mrs. Rempel's kitchen smelled of freshly baked bread. There's nothing like a slice of freshly baked bread, slathered in butter, or if you're Canadian, peanut butter, yes. The Powers family, where I shared many cups of tea, ate them out of house and home, played Scrabble to the wee hours, and was tucked into bed with a hot water bottle the night our house burned down and my brother died. The Northgraves, who became my family after that fire, who gave me a home when my own brother wouldn't. My appreciation for these families stretches to the moon and back. I bet if you shuffle through your memories, you can come up with times you were treated to random acts of kindness that changed your life. When I was 15, I asked for a season's pass for skiing at Grouse Mountain, Vancouver's most famous local ski mountain. Mom said we couldn't afford it. Although I had been babysitting since I was 10, I didn't have the $40 for the pass because I'd used it to buy clothes for school and to go skating or the movies on the weekend with friends. I begged Mom. I was just learning to ski and had fallen in love with it. "Mom, I'll pay you back with my babysitting money," I said. Mom stuck to her guns and just said no. I broke into tears. I hated it at home then. Mom's boyfriend was living with us. They were alcoholics, and Bill physically abused my mom. I had three older brothers who had their gang of friends over all the time. They smoked cigarettes and pot, drank beer, heated knives on the stove to smoke their hash, watched sports, and left the place a mess. And they teased me a lot. I spent much of my time in my bedroom. Ice skating and skiing took me away from all that. Skiing took me outdoors into the beautiful scenery and trees and snow. I didn't understand how Mom could be so stubborn, especially when I was going to pay her back. But that was how she was back then. She didn't like that I was turning into a woman. Instead of guiding me, she chided me. On Grouse Mountain, I didn't have to hear those words or smell the stench of beer, wine, vodka, cigarettes, or pot. When I was having that conversation with my mom, it was in our living room, I remember, and her boyfriend's son and nephew were sitting in the living room too, watching TV. Out of the blue, nephew Terry stood up, took his wallet from his pocket, and handed me $40. I couldn't believe it. I was overcome with joy, and he never let me pay him back. That $40 allowed me to become a skier, and it's a hobby I enjoy to this day. Skiing with friends and family over the years has been some of the happiest moments of my life. When I was a little older, 18, I had a boyfriend named Rick. He was handsome, blonde, and blue-eyed, and drove a white Stingray Corvette, which I thought was pretty cool. Yet he wasn't flashy at all, not at the core. Rick was a man of few words. I felt compelled to speak more than I normally would, or there would have been a lot of silent moments. I told him about Christmas at our house. Then it was getting close to Christmas. Mom's abusive boyfriend had just died, so I decided to move back home. I mentioned to Rick that we had never had a real tree after Daddy died when I was very young. For much of my childhood, we had a small artificial tree that Mom placed on top of the buffet in the dining room because that was all she could afford. In my teen years, after winning a lawsuit, Mom bought a full-size artificial tree, but never a real one. It was too expensive, she'd say. It came time to put up the Christmas decorations. The doorbell rang, and I opened the door, and there was Rick, with a beautiful, live Christmas tree. It was the tallest one we had known, and the smell of pine permeated our house. That tree was one of the best Christmas presents I have ever had. If I knew where Rick was today, I would call him and thank him again. His generosity meant so much to me. And same goes for Terry. I don't think I thanked either of them enough. Generosity isn't just about receiving, of course, although all the people I mentioned have enhanced my life in a profound way. It's also about giving. I was bitten by the giving bug at an early age. My first recollection was as a little girl putting my allowance in an envelope and after writing a friend's name on it, popping it into their mailbox with no note of explanation. I just wanted them to have a surprise, to have money, and people seemed to want money. One time I was there when a friend opened the envelope and how their face just lit up. It was such a happy moment for me. Not only them. The giving bug remains with me today. For example, my podcast is one way I give back. Every sunrise is an invitation for us to rise and brighten someone's day. That is why generosity is regarded as a virtue. This Christmas, consider exercising your free will and give something to somebody unexpectedly. Being generous is a fantastic way to improve your well-being because it has a ripple effect. The more we believe that what we give will be of value to others, the better it feels. It's by the grace of generosity of so many others that my life was changed for the better. Nobody that I have mentioned in this podcast wanted anything in return. Did they feel better for helping me? I imagine so, most definitely. And that's okay, is how it works. It's an exchange of energy. I'm not a religious person. I am a spiritual person. I have defined my success as growing spiritually, living with joy and adventure. One of my favorite books is by A. Parthasarathy, and I hope I pronounced that right because he's an amazing man. It's called the Vedanta Treatise. Vedanta is the philosophy of the ancient Vedas of India, the gurus who passed on knowledge to the next generation through conversation before there was the written word. The author's life is dedicated to the study, research, and propagation of Vedanta. As he so aptly says in his book, Vedanta literally means culmination of knowledge. Veda means knowledge, and Anta means end, the knowledge of your real self. There's such a rich abundance of information in this book, I cannot begin to paraphrase. If you are a seeker, I encourage you to read it. My gift to you this holiday season is to read some of his most important words from his book. He says, "You are the architect of your life. Destiny is ruled by a scientific law relating to cause and effect. There is no extraneous power controlling your life, no God shaping your destiny. No doubt God, and I interpret him as meaning all that is, whatever your meaning of God is, use it." He goes on to say, "No doubt God is the supreme power which enables you to think, desire, and act. But the quality of your activities is entirely of your making. The human effort is everything. There is nothing else to it. God is no doubt the substratum, prime mover of activities, as petrol is to cars. But petrol doesn't determine the mode and course of their motion. It is the engine that provides the power in the car. The driver determines its direction, its course. Similarly, the human mind and intellect determine the nature and direction of activities, and they in turn fabricate his destiny, not God. The responsibility of your life lies in your hands. Entertain positive thought and feeling. Perform positive actions. You will then meet fortune. Whereas negative thought, feeling, and action, you will bring about misfortune for yourself. You mold your destiny. You get what you deserve. It is an unfailing law." I found those words so powerful when I read them. It's with grace that I found this book in India. It was 6 months before my wedding. I had never not worked, so I decided I should do something epic with that time, as I was planning on going back to work right after my wedding. I chose a trip to India, as I'd never been there before. Unexpectedly, it wasn't the Taj Mahal, the Red Fort of Agra, or the history of New Delhi that impressed me the most. There is a spa located in Narendra Nagar set in a Himalayan mountain estate that I had the great fortune to go to. It's overlooking the River Ganges and it's set among forests close to the town of Rishikesh. I thought it was the yoga and Ayurvedic lifestyle that would have the most impact on me. The service and facilities were amazing, but that wasn't what moved me. It was the after-dinner lectures on Vedanta that inspired me, and it's where I found Mr. Partha Sarathy's book. For me, this book took my knowledge of spirituality, religion, and metaphysics to the next level by summarizing the wisdom of the ancient Vedas. The knowledge has enhanced my life. It was grace that took me to that spot in India in January 13 years ago, and grace visits our lives often in less than obvious ways. It's with an open mind and an open heart that we recognize grace when she arrives. This holiday season, may you know her, Namaste, which means the divine in me honors the divine in you. Please remember to subscribe and share across social media. I'd really appreciate that, as Awaken to the Best You is my way of giving back. The more, the merrier. And I'd also love to read your comments, so please send your feedback my way so I know how to help you the most. Thank you again. Ciao for now.